Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
We're continuing today our series Letter from Lockdown based on the book in the New Testament called Philippians. Last week, Pastor Neil talked to us about having joy in the journey. And today we're going to talk about having joy in our relationships. When was the last time you received a letter from a family member or a friend? I remember when I was at Bible college, I loved receiving letters. You know, we had video calls, we had text messages and phone calls, but there was just something about noticing on the doormat that someone had sent you a letter. They'd taken the time to sit down, to think what they wanted to put onto paper, to write it by hand and maybe even send a little gift in with it and then go to the post box and send that on. And when that arrived, it brought joy. And that was a great part on for me, part of my Bible college experience. This past weekend, as lockdown has been eased, some people have been able to go and visit family members. You've been reunited with people that you've possibly not seen for more than 10 weeks. And I'm sure if you've had that experience, that will have brought you a lot of joy. And maybe there's some watching right now and your family members live further afield and you're looking forward to that day when you will be reunited. There will be much rejoicing. At the weekend, I was fascinated at the scenes of what was happening in the United States of America. I was mesmerized by the SpaceX rocket, which set out from Earth and launched up into space and then docked at the International Space Station. After seeing the highs of the rocket, I was also confronted by the lows of the death of George Floyd. You know, people matter to God. God loves all people. Relationships are so important. God created you to be in community with other people. Every person is created in the image of God. And the truth is that relationships can bring us much joy when they're going well. But when they're strained, relationships can cause pain. And our enemy knows that. And right from the beginning of the Bible, we see how he uses this tactic to try and bring strain and pain into relationships. But today I want to tell you about how you can find joy in relationships. As a pastor, Paul knew that relationships need a lot of ongoing work. And he helps us by giving us advice on how we are to keep healthy relationships. To summarize the message of Paul's letter to the church in Philippi, we could say that true lasting joy is only found in a relationship with Jesus. You can know joy in hard times. Even when life seems to be going the wrong way, you can still know the joy that there is in Jesus. See, joy doesn't come from outward circumstances being perfect. It comes from an inward strength within every believer. Whatever happens, we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Please turn with it in your Bible. We're going to read from Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to read verses 5 through to 11. Paul writes to the church here and says these words, "In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every other name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What is joy? Well, Rick Warren tells us that joy is the settled assurance that God is in control of all the details of my life, the quiet confidence that ultimately everything is going to be all right, and the determined choice to praise God in every circumstance. Hey, maybe you're new to online church, or maybe you're tuning in for the first time today. I want to ask you this question. Do you have that joy? Now, this joy is not found in your circumstances and everything being lined up perfectly in your life. It's found in a relationship with Jesus Christ. Do you have this joy in your life? Jesus gives us joy. Our circumstances may change, but whatever's happening, we can know true joy in Jesus. Let me tell you about a man called George Matheson. George was born in Glasgow, and at an early age, it was discovered that he had partial vision. By the time he was 20 years old, he was completely blind, and his fiancée at the time told him that she could not go through with the marriage. She could not spend her life with a man who was blind. He was devastated and heartbroken. His sister was his closest companion and aided him in his education and in his ministry. She learned Latin, Greek, and Hebrew and helped him to prepare for his teachings. He was an incredible academic, and he went on to have a great career in universities here in Scotland. And at his 40th birthday, his sister came to him and gave him the bittersweet news that she had found love and that she was going to be married. He had to come to terms with the reality that the companionship wasn't going to be the same in the future. But also, it brought back to his memory the heartache that he had experienced earlier in life. On the eve of his sister's marriage, in the midst of his sadness, George Matheson penned the well-known hymn, "O Love That Will Not Let Me Go." And one of the verses in that hymn says this: "O joy that seeketh me through pain, I cannot close my heart to thee. I trace the rainbow through the rain, and feel the promise is not vain, that morn shall tearless be." You know, George knew that his joy was not determined or based upon his circumstances, but rather it was found in his relationship with Jesus. So how do we experience joy in relationships? Well, the starting place is your relationship with God. With your relationship with God, you experience his love. His spirit is within you. You know his compassion. You know his tenderness. But the second step is that we have to follow in his footsteps. We have to share with others the love, the compassion, and the selfless care that we have received from God with other people. Notice that Paul here doesn't tell us about what other people should do, but he tells us about what we should do in our part in relationships. You see, the Jesus way is the opposite of our natural instincts. It's humility, not pride. It leads to us to experience joy in relationships. We need to be more like Jesus to find joy in our relationships. This is what he says. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. A mindset is a set of assumptions. It's your worldview, or we could say it's your outlook on life. How you think has a major influence on the health of your relationships. If you have a negative outlook, don't expect a positive outcome. If your attitude is bad, don't expect to have good actions. How you think has a major influence on the health of your relationships. Paul tells us that we are to have the same set of assumptions as Jesus. The Jesus way is humility, which looks like selflessness, valuing others above ourselves and putting others' interests before our own. It's Jesus first, yourself last, and others in between. Jesus is the ultimate example of humility. In the 1900s, there was a pastor called Charles Sheldon who wrote a book called In His Steps, What Would Jesus Do? And he spent many Sunday nights preaching through this book that he had written, and his congregation were inspired, and he drew a huge crowd to come and hear him preach. And he trained his congregation to have this outlook, this filter, that in every decision in life, to ask yourself, what would Jesus do? Well, the congregation were inspired, and it had an impact on the community. As people began to love like Jesus, began to be selfless, began to be sacrificial and humble, the community was transformed. I wonder, what would Peterhead look like? Or wherever you are in the world right now, what would your community look like if every believer had that outlook like Jesus? And ask yourself, what would Jesus do? I think we'd see more love. I think we'd see more peace. I think we'd see a big change in our community. What would Jesus do? Great question. But maybe we should ask a more important question. What has Jesus done? See, Paul here tells us about what Jesus has already done. Understanding who Jesus is and our relationship with him, it frames our outlook. And it's the starting place to keep healthy relationships with other people. Philippians 2, verses 6 through 8 is one of the most glorious passages in the New Testament. And if you are new to church and you're tuning in maybe just as your first or second time, can I explain to you the incredible mystery, how God came from heaven and became a human? See, Paul tells us here of Jesus' divinity. Jesus is God. He didn't become God. He didn't stop being God. He is the eternal God. He then tells us about his humility, how Jesus set aside the privileges of his divinity to come into this world. And he humbled himself even to the point of being a servant. And he tells us of his humanity. He lived with people. He experienced life just like you do. And he obeyed his Father to the point that he died on a cross, a criminal's death. What has Jesus done? As we are sending rockets up into space to try and reach out, he's already came down to this earth, humbled himself, took the position of a servant, lived a life where he demonstrated how we are to love, how we are to care, how we are to live selflessly. And one of the greatest examples of this is when he knelt down to wash his disciples' feet. And they protested and he insisted that he had to do this. And then he gave him this instruction, I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. How do we find joy in relationships? Yeah, it starts in our outlook, in our mind, but it's got to flow down to our hands and to our feet, to our actions. Karen Newhoff says this, Christian maturity is not marked by how much we know, it's marked by how much we love. How can you demonstrate practical Christian love in your relationships and in your community right now? I think the most Christ-like people that I've known in my life are not necessarily people who are center stage, not those who are in front of the camera, but it's those that every day are extremely generous, that are compassionate and love without conditions and are selfless. You know, I want to be more like them because they're like Jesus. And they're following the example that he has set for us. Jesus teaches us that when we are selfless, humble, loving, we'll find joy in our relationships. But the truth is, relationships are not always easy. And we need God's help to not live and act according to our natural instincts, but to follow the Jesus way of being humble, selfless, and loving. Why is Jesus worth following? Well, the text goes on to tell us this, that God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow in heaven, on earth, and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Jesus is worthy. He is, if you want to follow anyone in this world, he's the only one who is worth following. A few weeks ago, I received one of these "We missed you" cards from the postman. And I'd been expecting this parcel all day and it hadn't came, so I made my way to the delivery sorting office. And as I got there, they asked me for my name, and I told them my name's Daniel Sutherland. Okay, we'll go and find your parcel. And 10 minutes passed and still no one came back. 20 minutes passed, I thought, have they forgotten about me? 45 minutes later, they came back and they said, "We found your parcel." And I asked, "What happened?" He said, "Well, we didn't have your name on the parcel, it just had your business address. So we were looking for your name when really we should have been looking for the business address." Well, to be honest, by that point, I was just glad to get the parcel. But I wonder today, have you been looking for something? Have you felt a bit lost? You know, there's a song by the band U2 that says that I still haven't found what I'm looking for. I wonder if you looked for joy in relationships or joy in your work or joy in your circumstances and you've always felt empty and shortchanged. Well, as I said earlier, true and lasting joy is only found firstly in a relationship with Jesus Christ. You know, there is a gift waiting for you today and it's got your name on it. The Bible clearly shows us, as we've read today, that God has came to earth. He's died upon the cross. He's took your place. He's took all the guilt and shame, all the rubbish, that which the Bible calls sin, and he's took that upon him. He's paid the penalty so that today you can ask him to forgive you of your sins, and he promises that he will do that. You're watching today and maybe you're thinking right now, "But Daniel, you don't know what I've done. If only you knew." I want to tell you today, God's love is so wide and so great that no one is beyond his reach today. He demonstrated that he came all the way from heaven down to earth. Why? Because he wants to be in relationship with you. If you feel lost, if you still haven't found what you're looking for, can I help you today? You're looking for Jesus. He will give you the meaning and the purpose that you need in your life. And he will satisfy you with that joy that nothing in this world can offer you, that only comes from knowing him. I wonder today if you're watching me online, and maybe you're watching this on Sunday or you're catching up later, maybe this is the moment that you need to make this decision to begin a relationship with Jesus. Well, I want to help you. And it's very simple. I'm going to lead us in a short prayer, and I want to encourage you to pray this with me and mean it genuinely from your heart. And when you pray this prayer, I can't hear you. I'm in a TV studio, but heaven hears you. And Jesus is listening to your cry today. So can you join me in this prayer if that's you? You want to start a relationship with Jesus today. You want to know that joy. Just repeat these words after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you that you came into this world, that you lived a perfect life, that you died upon the cross, and you took my place, you took my sin. I recognize I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of all my sin. Make me into a new person by the power of your Spirit. Help me to follow you all the days of my life. I confess you are my Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer right now, I am overjoyed for you. But I would love to celebrate with you. And the way that you can do that is by letting us know. You can feel comfortable either chatting in the messenger chat there, or you can send us an email, whatever it is, please let us know. I want to rejoice with you today. And right now in our service, we are going to prepare to celebrate communion together. And just before we do that though, I've talked about relationships, and you know, I want to be real right now, because I know not every relationship is perfect. I know at times there can be difficulties and challenges and strain, but I believe God's a healer. I believe that God can restore broken relationships, and we play our part. We take the advice of what Paul explains to us here, but I want to believe for a supernatural healing in relationships which are strained or even broken. I want to pray for that right now. And if that's you today and you say, I resonate with that, then can you agree with me as we pray? Father, I thank you that you created us to be in community, to love one another. Father, we recognize that we make mistakes, we've made errors, we've said things that we shouldn't have, we've maybe not done things that we should have done, and we ask for forgiveness for that right now. But Father, I pray for healing to flow into broken relationships. Bring restoration. Father, for some it may be something that happens very quickly, but for others this will be part of a journey. People of hearts, people of struggles, I'm praying for healing within people and relationships right now. Also, Lord, I'm praying, Lord, for wisdom for people that are maybe engaged in hurtful relationships. Lord, I pray that they'd be able to set those aside so that they can first and foremostly focus on the most important relationship, and that is the relationship with you. So, Father, I thank you that you're a healer. I pray that you bring healing into relationships today, in Jesus' name.